Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We'll bring him in. Michael Felder of Stadium. First off, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, man. So I don't know how many years were you coming on with Scott and I? Do you recall? Because it started off, because the way it worked, first off, you were working for Bleacher Report at the time, and you would, like, we would have to go through somebody to set you up, and we had you and another guy named Aaron Nagler on who would come on weekly with us, and then Nagler kind of flamed out with us and started doing some other stuff, which is fine. Like, I mean, look, it's a lot to ask somebody to come on for pretty much 52 weeks a year. But you stayed with us for God knows how long, man. We had so much fun with you, so appreciate you coming back and being on with us tonight.
No, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to restart this thing. I miss talking to you. It's probably good grief. I remember doing radio in the car on Thanksgiving, basically when I was driving to my grandma's house on a Thursday, because we always did Thursdays at 2:30, 2:15. So, yeah, it's been, I don't know, the better part of a decade, and I'm excited to kind of rekindle things.
Yeah, so when we first started out, let's do this, because there are some things I have to tell you. I hate The Walking Dead now, but I'm going to keep watching because I'm so invested.
I told you to get out of the show. Did I not tell you? I told you to quit watching the show.
I was so mad at you because one of the things we would always do with Michael is like, "Hey, what are you watching? What's on the DVR, or how are you setting things up?" Because you always had some interesting things you watched, and like I read all the comic books, so I absolutely hate the show now, but I watch it every single week.
You can stop at any time.
I can't do it. It's like I'm too invested. That's how, like, Game of Thrones, I still feels like I always argue with my buddy because he tells me Breaking Bad's the greatest show that's ever been on television, and that's something we're going to get into when we get to some of the leaner days, but I love Game of Thrones, and that last season, I just want to pick it up and throw it in the trash and say go back and redo it because it was so bad.
Yeah, my wife, she loves Game of Thrones. I stopped watching Game of Thrones, I think, at season 5-ish. And my wife kept going and kept going and kept going. And then every Sunday night, you know, I'm in the kitchen, you know, working on things, and she's looking at me like, why is it bad now at the end of the final season? And I'm like, you can stop. We don't have to do this. But you and her, you guys got that same disease where you have to finish things. Although I will say this, my wife did quit The Walking Dead because she's just like, I can't do this anymore.
Clever girl. Yeah. See, now the other thing to add to this, just talking about these shows, like with Game of Thrones, it felt like they were busy writing those scripts and then somebody put a Mad Lib together and then they figured out the last season of it and that's what they went with. And it's like, how the hell did this happen? But, you know, I know a lot of people are power watching TV shows that they may not have watched. Are you spending a lot of time with the television now, or how's that working for you? Because I know you, like, you're big into gardening. You do all this stuff, man.
So I love gardening, obviously. Not really much to do here in Chicago in this current time frame from a gardening standpoint, just because of the weather. But I've been reading a book, which is called The Bountiful Container, which is a container gardening book that's fantastic. And I have been not watching as much television, a lot more podcasts, but mostly that's because I have a 2-year-old daughter who is occupying the television right now because we don't have a yard. So she has to do something, and the something is television and going to play bubbles or playing with letters and magnet tiles. So for me, less television, especially because once my daughter's not watching television, I want to give my wife the time to watch her to watch the things that she likes to watch because she's used to being home by herself during the day. So it has been a bunch of juggling right now, man.
talking to Michael Felder with Stadium here on 105.7 The Fan. It's a lowdown. So, Michael, since I'm doing the show from home in my dining room, and since we started it, I just talked to upper management and said, I'm getting drunk every night, just to let you guys know. So I'm doing shots of Jaeger and drinking High Noons, which are they're quite delicious. They're it's almost like these seltzers, but it's a vodka and soda. So I don't know. It's tasty, to say the least. I know you like to dabble. Have you found yourself drinking more, or are you staying away?
I don't know if more is the right word, but certainly yes, drinking.
the same amount
for the Wild Turkey, and then we get into the Bud Light. I'm an ice cold BL guy, and I love a little kicking chicken. So, you know, once the kid goes to bed, we kind of have a shot together to say, hey, you know what, we made it another day. And honestly, I think that's a great ritual. Like, if for all my parents out there, shout out to parents. Once you get the kids to bed, have a shot together. It'll make you feel like you're 20 something and make you feel like you accomplished something that day.
Yeah. I went to Germany for Oktoberfest, man. And I'd go back in a heartbeat. It was so good last year. I had so much fun. We had a couple of friends we wish were with us that couldn't make the trip, but we were they have Jaeger after dinner. They had the Jaeger over there tastes different to me at least, but you know, just, I got up one morning and we were all hung over and I'm looking at everybody and I'm like, you know what? It's 8:30. Let's do it. Line up the Jaeger shots. I put one in front of everyone. Everybody hated me. And then we just got that ball rolling again. It was fine. A little hair of the dog, ready to roll, man.
Jaeger feels like sophomore, junior year of college to me. I don't know that I've had a Jaeger shot in years because,
That's something you should remedy. Well, let's talk some football here because, you know, everybody's dying for sports and, you know, would love to see it come back. We will have the draft coming up and, I've said this before, and I'm not saying it because you're on the airwaves. I think you are the most knowledgeable person to talk about these players in the draft because I could pick a team and pick a position, and you're going to know something about that guy no matter what I bring up. But the first thing I wanted to focus on is wide receivers. And I know we talk about it a lot. The Ravens could be interested in one of their first three picks. They have one at 28. They have the 55th and 60th pick in the draft. But how these guys stack up, because I saw an interesting list, and not to just sit here and trash somebody, but Chris Sims had a top five wide receiver list, and he didn't have Jerry Jeudy in the top five, which I just find strange. How do you see those guys at the top? Because I think once you get past the first couple, the next, six or seven are, I don't want to say interchangeable, but I think it comes into preference there.
Yeah, I want to make sure I don't forget anyone. So for me, one, I love Sims. So I know that obviously there's something in Jeudy's game that kind of irks him, which is why he probably doesn't have him on the list. For me personally, I think that CeeDee Lamb is number one, and I'm CeeDee Lamb all day. I think Jeudy number two. I think Justin Jefferson is not a project, but a guy that still has some work to do, who has a really high upside, maybe a higher upside than the other two guys in front of him, because we know what they are as products. I'm a T. Higgins guy. I throw T. Higgins on there, and I think Brandon Ayuk belongs on that list as well as one of the top five wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. For me, I look at CD, and his maturity from 2018 to 2019 has been really special for me because watching him drop, you know, like a five-yard out in 2017 or 2018 and just be like, you know what, I got you, and then make an amazing catch. In 2019, knowing he wasn't playing with Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray, he recognized I have to catch everything, and I have to be stronger to be able to do things after the catch, which I thought was really cool to see. And then Jeudy is one of the best route runners to come out of college football probably in the last decade. He is a better route runner than even guys like A.J. Green or Julio Jones. He's a better route runner than some of the slot guys. I think he's a better route runner than, obviously, Amari Cooper, who is very good at it, but I think he's a better route runner than Amari Cooper. What he's able to do with the body style that he has is really special, and he's a dog after the catch. So I think Amari Cooper is too. CeeDee Lamb, this is a preference thing, right? We're splitting hairs with Lamb versus Amari Cooper. And then we get into T. Higgins for me. Fits into the A.J. Green mold where when the ball's in the air, he's going to get it. And he's not Megatron, obviously, Calvin Johnson coming out of Georgia Tech, but he has a lot of those same qualities in terms of being able to adjust to the football. So Higgins, for me, sitting there is really important. And so to me, those three guys make plays. And I know that Higgins hasn't gotten the accolades that some of these other guys have, A lot of people are crediting it to the system, but look at the coaching that he's got, right? Look at the coaching that he's had, where that coach has put Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Mike Williams, Montrevious Bryant. Like, he's put those guys into the league, and he's going to put Justin Ross into the league next year. I think you can't discredit that coaching.
And countless other tight ends that are in that passing game as well. Now, if you want to talk about how they've worked. Now, you know, on the Chris Sims list, again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't know. I think the same way you do about Judy and his route running ability. But he had Lamb 1, Jefferson 2, Ruggs 3, and everybody, like, if you're in love with Ruggs, it's easy to see why. I mean, one of the fastest guys. The vertical is insane. So, I mean, the basketball highlights of him are just absolutely unbelievable. He had Penn State's KJ Hamler in there, and Clemson's T. Higgins were in his top 5.
I love Ruggs. He's super good, but if you're going to look at Ruggs, you better look at Jalen Reagor. And Jalen Reagor out of TCU, you want to talk about basketball highlights? So when I was at Bleacher Report, we did the opening, and at the opening out in out in Beaverton, Oregon at the Nike campus, we did a dunk contest. And Reagor was the best dunker outside of probably, I guess, Devontae Smith, the wide receiver who came back to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Reagor was such a good dunker. We're talking about a guy at that point who was 5'9", 5'10", and I'm not saying it's speculative. I'm saying as standing next to him as a guy, as a man who was 5'10 and a half, and he was at least an inch shorter than me. And he was able to do, like, the East Bay funk ball under the leg, in the air, and yam it hard. Like, Reagor is incredibly explosive. He didn't have the quarterback play that you get at Alabama. He didn't have the quarterback play even that you got at Penn State between Trace McSorley and Sean Clifford, but he is a more explosive player. He didn't run as fast the 40 time as Ruggs, but he is incredibly, I think he's a more violent level of explosive than Ruggs. Ruggs has great straight line speed and great speed when you give him the ball with an open hole, but Ruggs doesn't have the same ability to break through arm tackles that we saw out of Jalen Reagor. And that's not discounting Ruggs. It's more propping up Reagor because he's really special. And when it comes to KJ Hamler, he is remarkable, the guy from Penn State. He is so elusive. There's a smoothness to him that I don't think, outside of CeeDee Lamb, I don't think any of these other top wide receivers have the level of smooth that KJ Hamler has. Reagor is a herky-jerky guy. Ruggs is more of a herky-jerky guy. Judy is herky-jerky. But CeeDee Lamb and Hamler have a smoothness that, to me, it makes everything look easy. And when it all looks easy, even though you know they're working hard, I think that gives you something to build on.
Well, talk to me about this because, you know, just mentioning these guys, I love Jefferson. And I see some of the same things you're talking about. And the one thing that every time I watch LSU play this year, and it was 3rd down and 4, 3rd down and 9, 3rd and 16, and I've said this about players before, and not that it's just some way to evaluate him, he was a go-to guy, and I just felt like he always got to where he needed to be and came down with the ball and made plays. And there's going to be somebody in this draft with all this talent at wide receiver that ends up being, I'm not saying the same player, but like Michael Thomas, where we were looking at a bunch of other guys, and it's like, man, where the hell did he come from? And I went back to Reggie Wayne, who was drafted at the back end of the first round. There were a couple other receivers that went in front of him. And there's going to be somebody in here, whether it's Sims, Ayuk. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of these guys, maybe a couple of them that end up popping and being better players than the ones in front of them.
If I had to bet on someone being a better player than the one on front, one than the guys in front of them, I'm going to go ahead and bet on – there's two guys I have, and for two separate reasons. I think Denzel Mims and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Denzel Mims is such a great technician, and working at Baylor in that offense, he was able to get himself consistently open. Like, the biggest thing for me that lets me know he's going to be your quarterback's best friend is in the game where Charlie Brewer gets hurt in the Big 12 championship game. Charlie Brewer gets hurt, and so Mims' targets go way down because the backup and the backup are running the offense instead of just looking at him to force the ball to him. And I think that a quarterback knowing that you're going to get open, even when the defense dictates that you shouldn't be open or the defense is trying to take you away, lets me know that you know what you're doing when it comes to route running. So I think that's what I think about Denzel Mims. And for Donovan Peoples-Jones, this is the caveat here is depends on who picks him. But Donovan Peoples-Jones was a five-star wide receiver coming out of high school. He was the best athlete in his class. He's a guy that at like, 6'3", whatever, could do a standing backflip on demand. And it's a matter of quarterback play and getting a wide receivers coach that's going to teach him how to run routes. Because if you can harness his talent, he can be the best wide receiver out of this entire class. It's just a matter of harnessing the talent, but also harnessing the work ethic. So I'm very curious to see where he ends up because he could do so many things. It's just a matter of getting him to do them both through consistent quarterback play and challenging him in practice on a daily basis.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, talk to me about inside linebackers because there's been a lot of people that, the Ravens picking at 28. I've seen Queen mock there. A handful of other inside linebackers. How do you stack those guys up and what's your preference if you had your choice of who's the best in that group?
I'm a Queen guy. I think Patrick Queen is so remarkable for LSU. To me, he is someone who had other talent around him, so he didn't have to make the amount of tackles that we saw other guys have to make. He knows the game, and I think that's the most important part is recognizing the game and watching him play. And I think that you can get the same thing with Willie Gay, who's a really good player for Mississippi State that had to do a little bit more, had to make a little bit more plays. Kenneth Murray scares me a little bit, Oklahoma linebacker, because he made a lot of plays on the side of bodies instead of downhill two bodies, parallel tackling versus perpendicular tackling. And that tells me that he's either picking up late and using his speed to make those plays, or he is contact shy. Either way, both of those aren't good answers. I think Willie Gay made a lot of downhill plays from Mississippi State. I look at Malik Harrison is going to be a very interesting one for me as a guy who we know can rush the passer, but also fitting him into a defense where he is inside locked up and is reading his keys is going to be very interesting. And I think kind of off the radar, Clay Johnston from Baylor is pretty cool for me. He is a guy, he's a little undersized, but he is someone who does read his keys very well, and his nose always takes him to the football. So I like that out of him. But for me, Patrick Queen is the lead dog. I think he should be the first, true linebacker off the board. Not like linebacker edge rusher, but true linebacker off the board. He's got an ability to sniff things out, root things out, and he is not afraid to go punch a guard in the mouth when he has to.
Love it. Now, with the Ravens looking for someone, it seems like with the beef they have up front and the talent they have there now, that they're just wanting somebody that's a surefire tackler. And because you feel like with Brandon Williams and adding in Calais Campbell, and now they picked up Derek Wolfe, that be able to keep those guys clean to go out and make plays.
Yeah, and that's the key. And I think if you keep – that was the interesting thing about LSU was their linebackers had to do a combination of things, right? Dave Aranda flipped things up so consistently, which – did confuse teams, did confuse offensive lines, that sometimes his guys up front were two gapping, sometimes there were one gapping, and the linebackers had to control whether it was a guard or it was a tight end or whatever. The linebackers had to control that guy. But I think Queen did a good job of all of it. I think Divinity did a good job of it too. Like, if you don't get Queen early, you can get Divinity a little bit later, but he can do those things as well as long as he's healthy. He's had a couple of injury issues, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that Queen fits into this idea of keeping them clean, but to be fair, if you're talking about enough beef up front to keep guys clean, Kenneth Murray is a tackling machine. And if you point him in the right direction and he gets good coaching, he can go and do that. So I'm very curious. Kenneth Murray, to me, is the most interesting fringe first-round prospect because his tackling numbers, they look like Luke Kuechly, but mm-hmm. The way that his tackling production came doesn't look the same as like Luke Kuechly's. So where he fits in the NFL minds is going to be pretty interesting.
Hey, Mike, appreciate your time, man. Hopefully we can do this a little bit more. And I know you got some free time on your hands now with everything that's going on. But you told me Thursdays are still your busy days, right?
Yeah, Thursday's the day I'm doing all the work. So I like to add a little bit more work from switching it from 2:15 or 2:30 to back to 5:30, you know, or 6:30, that's no big deal for me. I'm ready to rock and roll when you are.
Love it, man. Hey, appreciate your time, and look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Sounds good. You take it easy.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.